Thanks so much for joining us today. Our hope and prayer is that God will use this message powerfully in your life and that it'll bring you closer to Him. If you'd like more information about our church, or if you'd like to hear more messages, you can visit vibechurch.com or download our app. Now get ready to receive a word from the Lord.
So I'm going to jump right into the message because I literally have 16 pages of notes. And for our tech guys, they're like, what in the world? That's like probably three times what I normally have. And so I promise that I'm not going to keep you past 12:15. So we'll try to get done before then. But if you'll listen good, I'll talk fast, all right? But last week we actually started a few weeks ago talking about our 2020 vision series called Focusing on What Matters Most. And so we're trying to take some time and just focus on what's most important and should be most important in our lives. And last week we focused and looked at relationships and how relationships are vital, and we learned that God's plan to grow others is through you, and God's plan to grow you is through others. They're so intertwined. Our spiritual development, our growth spiritually, really depends on one another. As much as you want to try to grow alone, I know it, I get it, some of you are wired that way, you just want to be alone, you don't want to be with people drain you, but you need people, and people need you. I can't grow by myself. I have to be involved in other people's lives. And we'll talk more about that in this series, and it'll make sense a little more. But relationships are so important, and whatever you can do to help foster those relationships and develop those relationships. And that's one of the reasons we do the group church, one of the reasons we have different small groups, and so that you can meet other people and you can connect with them. And also our serve teams is a great way to meet other people and to connect with them and develop those relationships. And so this week we're going to focus on another thing. We're going to focus on what we believe. And so I want to jump right into a passage of scripture. There was a situation in John chapter 18 where Jesus, of course, he's at the end of his ministry, earthly ministry, and he's before Pontius Pilate. He had been taken by the religious leaders of the day and taken to Pontius Pilate because they wanted him to be crucified. They wanted him to be punished. And so here he is before Pontius Pilate, and he's having this conversation. In verse 33, it says, Pilate then went back inside the palace and summoned Jesus and asked him, are you the king of the Jews? And Jesus, is that your own idea, Jesus asked, or did others talk to you about me? Verse 35, am I a Jew? Pilate replied. Your own people and chief priests handed you over to me. What is it you've done? And so Pilate's trying to figure out, what did you do? Why are you here? You know, why are they out for you? Why do they hate you so much? And verse 36, Jesus said, my kingdom's not of this world. If it were, my servants would fight to prevent my arrest by the Jewish leaders. But now my kingdom is from another place. Verse 37, you are a king then, said Pilate. Jesus answered, you say that I'm a king. In fact, the reason I was born and came into the world is to testify to the truth. Everyone on the side of truth listens to me. Those are powerful words. He said, I came to testify to the truth. Everyone on the side of truth listens to me. And then Pilate said these words that I think people ask all the time. Maybe they don't say them necessarily verbally, but there's in their heart we say these things. It says, he said, what is truth? What is truth? And so this morning I want to talk about it. I want to focus on what matters most, and it's what we believe. What we believe matters greatly. How important is truth to you? 78 times Jesus said in the Gospels, I tell you the truth. 25 times Jesus said, truly, truly, I say to you. Truth is vital for who we are as Christians, who we are as followers of Jesus, who we are as God's creation. The truth is vital. See, there's something about the truth, though, that scares us. We want the truth whenever somebody has done something against us. We want the truth to come out, right? We want them to pay for it. But when it comes to us doing things, we approach truth a little differently because truth does scare us. So what we do is we end up suppressing the truth. Romans 1:18 talks about that. Or we distort the truth. It's like, Acts 20:30 talks about that. We reject the truth. We just totally turn our back on it and we just say, I'm not going to receive it. Romans 2:8 talks about that. Or we exchange the truth of God for a lie. Romans 1:25 talks about that. Or we turn away from the truth and we turn aside to myths. Truth is vital. 2 Timothy 4:3-4 talks about that. Truth is vital to who we are. And as scary as truth can be, we have to learn to embrace it. There's something here at Vive that we as pretty much, it's kind of the core value of who we are as a church. And it's that Jesus came full of grace and truth. Scripture says that clearly in the first chapter of John, the Gospel of John. And it says that he came full of grace and truth. And there's a tension that we have to learn how to manage between grace and truth. We're going to talk more about that as we get into another series, the next series that we're going to be in. But we wrestle with that tension between grace and truth because grace says everyone is welcome and truth says there's a right and there's a wrong. And so there's a built-in tension to that. And we have to learn to manage it in our lives in so many different areas, so many different ways. Something about the truth, though, is that, you know, the further you get away from the truth, the harder it is to identify it. And truth is like a guardrail in our lives. The things that we believe to be truth are those guardrails, and they help us as we make decisions, as we go through life, right? Everybody has them. You make decisions all the time. You know, the average person has over 30,000 thoughts a day. I don't know who was monitoring how many thoughts when they came up with that statistic, but I just thought it was really interesting. Guys probably have about 15,000. We get in our nothing box and we think about nothing. But, you know, some of you ladies, sometimes my wife has about 60,000 thoughts and she wants to talk about them all with me, right? I know that's my problem, not yours. But we have all these thoughts. We have, you know, they say about 30,000 thoughts a day. And you know, there are a lot of illnesses that plague us today as a result of the thoughts that we have. You know, our thoughts actually affect us physically. It affects how we live our lives, our health. It can become an epidemic, and we're experiencing that as a culture. There are a lot of sicknesses that happen because of our thoughts. Mental illness is a very real thing. Suicide is a very real and scary thing. Depression is very real. And we are in a time and a day and an age where there's an epidemic that's going on. There's a mental illness, a mental health epidemic happening. And it's hard for people to talk about it. It's very, sometimes very polarizing. Sometimes it's scary because if we talk about it, that's like suggesting that somebody would actually do something. And we got to talk about this. But if I can, this morning, if I can kind of dive into a really super sensitive area and even talking, I got to talk fast though. You got to listen good. If you can hang with me and don't hear something that I'm not saying, okay, because I got 16 pages of notes, you're going to know exactly what I want to say. Or you can go on the app and you can download all those notes and reread what I said. But it's an epidemic. It's a serious problem that we have. And the things, our thoughts and what we think about, it affects us. It affects us physically. It can make us sick. It affects us emotionally and mentally. And you know, it's so easy for us to get caught up in negative, toxic thoughts, right? Things like, I'll never be good enough. My life doesn't matter. I hate the way I look. I can't do it all. I'll always be miserable. Sometimes we even think God just doesn't care about me anymore. And those thoughts affect us. And it's really easy to get caught up in that negative way of thinking. It's easy to get caught up in the toxic and the toxicity of those thoughts and those things. It really is the thought that counts. It really is the thought that counts. See, I'm convinced that thinking correctly leads to behaving correctly. And so if we can talk about it this morning, see, what I believe about God is going to impact my relationship with him. If I think he's a grumpy old man sitting out there on the throne way off and just barking orders at me, it's going to affect the way I think. Or if I think he's just some passive old man who's clueless, it's going to affect the way I have a relationship with God. The way we see him, the way we understand God affects our relationship with him. And the way that I understand myself and what I believe about myself, it affects my relationship with him. If I don't feel like I'm worthy to ever come before him, if I feel like I'm nothing and I'm not, you know, I'm not worth it, then it affects my relationship with him. There are over 70 verses in the Bible that talk about who we are in Christ. And what a difference that's made. What a difference it's made for God, what God provided for us through Jesus and the death on the cross. And over 70 verses that talk about our identity and how we've been made new and who we really are. So what I believe influences how I behave. What I believe influences how I behave. I know it's such a simple thought, but that's the bottom line of my message today. What I believe influences how I behave. And so I better focus on what I believe. Because I think we tend to go through life and we believe things. We just don't know where we got those beliefs from. We don't know why we believe that, but we just kind of believe it. Turn to the person next to you and tell them it's the thought that counts. It's the thought that counts. So now, if some of you are asking, what's for lunch? Don't, it's just the thought that counts, all right? Stay with me here. We haven't even made it through page one yet. No, I'm just kidding. I think we're on page two. So listen, if you've got a phone, smartphone, if you've got an iPad or whatever with you, you got the Vive app, jump onto the notes and follow along. If not, because there's going to be some places you can put some things in. If not, I want you to write something down with me this morning because this is important. All right, I want to focus on two things real quick. Two things that we're going to apply into our lives today, all right? Because I don't want us to just be hearers of God's word and just walk away and not be a doer. I want us to put something into practice. And so we're going to focus on two things. And first one, we're going to learn by the power of God's word, okay? The first thing we're going to do is we're going to identify and reject toxic thoughts, all right? We're going to identify and we're going to learn how to reject toxic thoughts. The second thing is we're going to replace those toxic thoughts with God's truth. So two simple things this morning, all right? If you're one of those, like, I like to take notes, there it is. Identify and reject toxic thoughts and then replace toxic thoughts with God's truth. So we're going to identify those thoughts that are inconsistent with God's truth and we're going to reject those lies. We're going to guard our thoughts because our thoughts drive our lives, don't they? They drive our lives. Look with me on 2 Corinthians chapter 10. It's going to be on the screen. 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 3 through 5. I want to walk through this passage of scripture this morning. And it says, "For though we live in the world, we do not wage war as the world does. The weapons we fight with are not the weapons of this world. On the contrary, they have divine power." So there was a lot that was just said, all right? We live in this world, and we have to wage war because there's an enemy of our soul. But the weapons that we fight with are not the weapons of this world. We tend to, though, as we go through life and we experience battles and struggles and challenges, we tend to grab the same weapons that the world uses. And we think, oh, that's how we fight. All right, so he says, no, listen, our weapons are not of this world. They're not the same kind of weapons. On the contrary, they have divine power. The word that's there, I know we have our English Bibles, right? Unless you speak Spanish and that's your mother tongue and you maybe have a Spanish Bible this morning. But the word power, Those words, whether it was in English or Spanish, were translated from the Greek language where it was originally written by the disciples, the followers of Jesus in the early church. And as Paul, the apostle, is writing this letter to the church in Corinth, he's saying, listen, our weapons are not of this world. On the contrary, they have divine power. That word power is translated from the Greek word dunamis. Dunamis, which means it's where we get our word dynamite from. Dynamite. Explosive power. The weapons that you and I have are weapons that are powerful, and they have this explosive dynamite power. To do what? To demolish. I like that. I'm a guy. I like to blow up things. I like 4th of July, New Year's Eve. I like to work the fireworks stand here, Vibe Church, because I like to see things. I just like that. Anybody else? To blow things up? Some of you are like, he's crazy. I just like that. I like to see things. We did a thing one time. We had some Tannerite. Remember when we went on the guys' camping trip? And we had this package of Tannerite, and we put it in the side of a, like a bank of a river, and we shot it, and it was amazing. So yeah, I guess, you know, yeah, I probably have some screws loose, but that's okay. But we have divine power, not the kind of weapons that this world has, and those the power that we have demolishes. What does it demolish? It doesn't demolish each other. That's not what our struggle is against, right? We don't have divine power that I'm going to demolish you. The weapons that we fight with are powerful, divinely powerful, to demolish strongholds. Strongholds. The Greek, I know I'm throwing out a lot of Greek, the Greek word, I love it. I love it because I think we use strongholds, that word, interchangeably. We use it for a lot of different things. It's kind of like a military term that if you have the high ground, or if you have an area, you have a stronghold, or you've been able to capture a place as a stronghold. And the Greek word literally means prisoner locked by deception. We have divine power to demolish strongholds, to demolish deception. Those things, we can demolish the prisons of deception. Listen, how many of you know our thoughts really matter? What we think about, what we believe really matters. It affects us. It affects us physically. It affects us emotionally. It affects us spiritually. What I believe influences how I behave. We have divine power to demolish those prisons of deception. It's so easy for us to fall into deception. It's so easy for us to fall into a lie. It all started in Genesis chapter 3. Did God really say? It all started there. And when Jesus stood before Pilate and he said, listen, I came to testify to the truth. And everyone who listens to truth is on my side. It's really about truth. Truth matters. It's our thoughts that count, and what we believe really does matter. Sometimes we wonder, why am I struggling? Why am I not becoming the person that God intended me to be? Maybe it's because you're locked in the prison of deception. Maybe there's some things that you believe that are not truth. And there's things that are keeping you from being what God created you to be. See, we can suppress the truth, we can reject the truth, we can exchange the truth of God for a lie, or we can embrace the truth. And I'll be honest with you, there's some things that Jesus said, there's some things that God says in his word that, man, they're hard to embrace. As a pastor, you think, oh, pastors just love all, you know, when Jesus said, hey, listen, if you don't forgive others, you won't be forgiven. It's like, ouch. I mean, there's a lot of other things. There's some things that are like, you kind of grab a hold of truth, like, ah, this hurts. You know, I gotta let go of some of my stuff. You know, I gotta let go of some pain. I gotta let go of some things that have happened to me. There are literally physical and spiritual benefits to forgiveness, to embracing that truth. See, the reason it's challenging for us to be where God wants us to be and where we're not there where we need to be, and we've fallen into this deception, this prison of deception, and because we believe something about ourselves that's not true. And when we do that, we're locked in this prison of lies. I believe today God wants to demolish your prison of deception. He wants to set you free. Amen? The scripture goes on to say in 2 Corinthians, we demolish arguments and every pretension that sets itself up against the knowledge of God. Isn't that powerful? And so we have this divine power. It's not the weapons of this world. It's not the same weapons that other people are fighting with. But we have these weapons that are divinely powerful to demolish strongholds. And we demolish arguments and every pretension that sets itself up against the knowledge of God. And what do? Here's what we do. You ready? We take captive every thought to make it obedient to Christ. What we believe influences how we behave. You can't get away from it. And the epidemic that we have, I know it's touched everybody's lives. Everyone seems to have a family member that is either suffering and going through mental illness, or they've committed suicide. They've experienced that. I have multiples of them in my family, in my life. So we're all touched with that. We experience that. Can I just be honest with you? Can I tell you the truth? Can we just embrace the truth this morning and say, listen, what I believe affects how I behave. What I believe influences how I behave. It's the thought that counts. It's the thought that counts. And we take every thought captive. We take it captive and make it obedient to Christ. That's what the scripture says we do. And we don't say, hey, I just need another drink. Hey, I need a joint. I need to smoke a little pot. Hey, I need to pop another pill. I know we start, now I'm treading on thin ice. Listen, we have weapons that are divine. And they're powerful. And they can demolish the things that the enemy wants to use. He started out in Genesis chapter 3. And he imprisoned two people who we all came from. Adam and Eve. And that deception is continuing in our lives. And we buy into it. So we're going to be careful to guard our minds. We're going to reject anything that's not truth. We're not prisoners to lies. This is so important. We're not prisoners to lies. Instead, our thoughts are our prisoners. Think about this, okay? We are not prisoners to lies. Instead, our thoughts are our prisoners. Every thought you have is your prisoner. Yes. Amen. Every thought you have, all 30,000 of them, or if you're one of those thinkers that have 60,000, all 60,000 of them are your prisoners. How do I keep track of them? Just lock them all in one cell. I don't know. They're your prisoners. You're not the prisoner of those thoughts. I control my thoughts. My thoughts do not control me. They don't control me. Listen, I live in the same world, and I have flesh and blood just like you do, and I get attacked by the enemy, and there's thoughts that just come at me all the time. I understand what I'm talking about, and I'm telling you, Our thoughts really matter. There's a reason why it's one of our core values. There's a reason why it's number two on the wall there. And we talk about it all the time, but what we believe and truth and how important it is. Because if we focus on truth, we can demolish the deception of the enemy. We can demolish the strongholds that he has set up in our lives. I'm going to walk you through a little exercise, okay? So if you're taking notes, take them fast. We're going to identify where you're prone to dwell on toxic thoughts. Real quick, there's four areas, okay? I've broken them down into four different areas. Real simple categories: negative thoughts, fearful thoughts, discontented thoughts, and critical thoughts, all right? Four things. We're going to identify where we're prone to these toxic thoughts so that we can reject them and we can replace them with God's truth. One, negative thoughts, all right? Sometimes the recordings in our head might say this: I don't have what it takes. I'm never going to be good enough. No matter how I try, how hard I try, I just don't measure up. Everybody else, they get all the breaks, but not me, baby. I mean, if something bad's going to happen, it happens to me. If something good's going to happen, it happens to you. I just can't do it all. There's just too much. I try, but I'm always overwhelmed and I just can't get it all done. No one appreciates me. I give and I give and I give and they take me for granted. I've got the gift of giving and they got the gift of taking. It's just not fair. How many would say that you're a little prone to negative thoughts? Hey, thanks for your honesty, because we're all going to fall into this category here in one of these. This is a vulnerable place. This is a vulnerable place. So we have to guard our mind against these negative thoughts. Second thing, fearful thoughts. It's so easy to worry today, isn't it? It's so easy to worry. You can't go anywhere anymore because it's just not safe. What if I lose my job? You turn on the news and everything is bad. I'm 30 years old. What if I don't ever get married? I don't feel safe. Someone could break in and hurt me. I worry about my kids. How many of you would say, hey, I sometimes I'm prone to fear? Prone to fear. This is definitely a vulnerable place for us. And we have to guard our minds against this stuff. Third thing, discontented thoughts, right? I don't like my body. I don't like the way I look. I'm not attractive. I can't be happy unless I'm dating someone. I can't be happy unless I'm married. Oh, I'm married to the wrong person. I wish my husband was more like that guy. I wish my wife was more like the girls in the videos that I watch. I wish he was a better spiritual leader, a better provider. I wish she wouldn't nag me all the time. We would be happy if we had kids. I wish we had kids, or I wish we had different kids. These kids are driving me crazy. I wish I had a better job, a bigger house, a nicer car. I wish we had granite countertops and a walk-in closet. I wish I could be happy. I can't be happy unless I have this or that. Oh, Lord. You don't even have to raise your hand. We'll just protect you. We'll protect the guilty. We have to guard our minds against this. Fourth area, critical thoughts. We see somebody and we're like, I would never do that. Who does he think he is? Can you believe the way she dresses? You know, just critical, right? How many of you know somebody like that? Look at you. You're being critical. See? Look at you. I'm just playing. Gotcha. No. I don't like this place. You walk into work and you just realize they're all a bunch of idiots. You're the only really capable one here, right? That's it. Oh, God help us. This place would fall apart without me. How many of you? No, don't raise your hands. I don't even like these people. Some of you even have the spiritual gift of criticism in church. I don't like that song. I don't like it. It's too loud. It's too warm. It's too cold. It's too what? You know, let's not. I won't even make you raise your hand for that one. Some of you already did. See, the battle is won or lost in our minds. And the weapons that we have are divinely powerful. They're mighty through God. Now, if you want to find some negative thoughts, if you want to find something negative, it is really easy to do that, right? You can find it. You make the choice. You choose, right? You can choose what's harmful, or you can choose to embrace what is true. If you want to find a reason to be critical, there's plenty of reasons, right? You're going to find what you're looking for. You know the difference between a hummingbird and a vulture? They both have wings. They both are birds. But a hummingbird finds sweet things. Nectar, sweet things. Every day, the hummingbird finds sweet things. I've never seen a hummingbird fly around a dead carcass and suck juices out of it. Right? Never. Hummingbirds find sweet things. Vultures find dead things, nasty things, stinky things. The stinkier, the better. It's like, oh, wow, dinner, guys. Come on. See, you can be a hummingbird or you can be a vulture. You're going to find what you're looking for, right? You can focus on the negative. You can focus on the fearful and the worry things, the discontent, the critical, the perverse things. You can focus on all that stuff, or you can focus on truth. Now, sometimes I think, you know, truth doesn't seem as sexy as all that other stuff. Truth just, you know, oh, man, it's just... But you can find what you're looking for. It is the thought that counts, and you're going to find what you're looking for. But if you allow the Holy Spirit to show you where you need to guard your thoughts, He'll do it. So we identify and we reject those toxic thoughts. You got to identify them in order to reject them, right? And the second thing we're going to do, still taking notes, is we're going to replace. We're going to replace the toxic thoughts with God's truth. How am I doing? 12:05. Wow, I'm running out of time. All right. We're going to replace toxic thoughts with God's truth. I'm going to reject these thoughts that are toxic and replace them with God's truth. I love the way God's word is so practical. Philippians 4:8 says, whatever's true, whatever's noble, whatever's right, whatever's pure, whatever's lovely, whatever's admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about those things. Think about those things. See, whatever is true, think about it. Whatever is noble, think about it. Whatever is right, think about it. Whatever is pure, think about it. Whatever is lovely, think about it. Whatever is admirable, think about it. Whatever is excellent, think about it. Think about it. Meditate on it. Let it be infused into your heart and into your mind. Let it change your heart. Don't think about the negative things, the fearful things, the things that make you worry. Don't think about the things that, hey, if I just had this. Don't think about the critical or the perverted. But think about those good things that God has done and is doing. You meditate on these things. And as you do, the Word of God starts to transform you. See, we renew our minds. We become a different person. Here's kind of an example that if you can, you know, hopefully you'll understand this. If you've ever tried to learn a second language, anybody ever tried to learn a second language? Okay, quite a few of you, so you'll get this. When I lived in Austria, I lived there for 3 years, and one of the things we had to do was to learn German, and that was, we were tasked with learning German. And so here's what would happen is I would think in English, and I would translate it in my head to German, and then in my mind I would speak that German, and then I would speak it out loud, you know, and then somebody who's speaking German would speak to me. I would translate that German in my head to English, and then form a response in my head in English and then translate it to German and then speak to that person in German. Did you track what I was saying? And for those of you who've tried to speak or learn another language, and if you've ever been in a situation, like, you know, a couple weeks we're going to be in Costa Rica. Those of you who are going, you're going to try to learn statements and words and things, and you're going to find it's really tiresome. You get worn out. I would be so mentally exhausted after just a little conversation with people, because there's all this going on, and it's just so, seems so tedious, right? But at some point, if you've ever learned a second language, which I learned a little bit, you know, enough to get me around. But when something happens, is there's this switch that flips in your brain, and all of a sudden, you don't even have to translate anymore. You don't have to think of the sentence in English and then translate it into Spanish or German or whatever language you're, and then speak it in. It just switches, and you just respond. And it was a great moment whenever that happened. And there were times when I would speak to people. I didn't even have to think about it. I just spoke, and then they would go into all kinds of other stuff. I'm like, I don't even know what was that? Oh, back to, you know. But this is the same thing that happens. It's true for us. It's true with our thoughts, right? See, we hear this old lie that's played out in our minds, and we have to consciously stop it and say, no, that's a lie. That's a lie. I choose to reject that. I choose to replace it with truth. I think on truth. I meditate on truth. And I'm speaking truth. And after I speak truth long enough and it gets into my soul long enough, then I start to live the truth. The same thing happens. It happens in our lives, just like me learning German, you learning Spanish, or whatever language you try to learn. That process is tedious. It takes work. It's not something that's just going to be automatic. And you're like, oh man, you know, wow, I don't believe the lies of the enemy anymore. I don't speak the lies of the enemy. Listen, it's going to take some work. It's going to mean you got to replace the negative thoughts. You got to replace the toxic thinking with God's thinking, with truth, because what we believe really does matter. It's the thought that counts. See, after a while, you start to think instinctively. You see, you hear something, you say, that's not true. This is true. And you speak it out. All of a sudden, your mind is renewed. And you're a different person. See, now you're living truth. You're responding with truth rather than sinking into the toxic lies of the enemy. Here's how it played out in my life. I used to be so eat up with insecurity. When I started out in ministry as a youth pastor when I was 20 years old, I would feel so insecure. And I've shared this story with you many times before, but after service, I'd be done, and I'd be driving away, and Robin's in the car with me. I say, "Hey, Robin, how'd that go? How was it?" And she's like, "Oh, it was good. It was good. I mean, no, really, really, how was it?" And it doesn't matter how much she said it was good. It was just like there was an emptiness in me, and I was like, I just felt insecure. And when I got around other youth pastors, I felt like I was the least of the least of the least. You ever feel like that? Whatever area you're in, not everybody does, but a lot of people do. And I felt so insecure. I felt like, well, man, I'm like the least qualified. I'm the least talented. I'm the least blah, 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 blah. You know, all this garbage that I embraced. It was the lies. It was that prison of deception that I had been in. I don't know when it started. I don't know where it started. I don't know what happened in my life to put me in that prison, but I was in it. And I realized at one point, that I can't keep doing this. I can't keep living like this. And I started to discover, what does Jesus say about me? Who am I in Christ? Is this thing religion? If it's religion, then it's dead. But who did Jesus really make a difference in my life? Is God's word really true? And I started to take it and embrace it, and I started to believe it. I started to believe that God called me into the ministry. And if he called me, then he equipped me. He said it. He said he did that. He said it in his word. He didn't say Randy, but you know what I'm saying. He said, I equip those who have called. Amen. And so I realized, God, if you called me, you've equipped me. If you've equipped me, I'm in good shape. I may not think, I may not look like other people, but you called me. And I tell you what, that's been 30 years ago. 30 years ago. And there's been times where, you know, the enemy's like, hey, you want to do something else? No, I'm called. I'm called. And I'm equipped. See, I don't know what it is that the prison of deception in your life. I don't know what is going on, but God does. Some of you might say, as bad as I've been, I could never make a difference. No. I reject it. You are the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. I didn't say it. God said it. You are the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. Maybe you say, everything bad always happens to me. No. I have a good God who's working good in all things to those who love God, and I do, and you're called according to his purpose. Maybe you say, oh, I'm never going to be able to change. I'm always going to be this or that. Or no, no. Reject it. I'm an overcomer by the blood of the Lamb and the word of my testimony. I am who God called me to be, created by God. He's my rock. He's my redeemer. He's my righteousness. I have the same spirit that raised Christ Jesus from the dead dwelling in me. You're blessed of God, blessed coming in and blessed going out. You are redeemed, sanctified. You're the righteousness of God. You are called. You are equipped. You have everything that you need to do everything that God has called you to do. That's the truth. It's not a pep talk. It's what God says about you. And when we embrace the truth, it changes everything. It changes everything. Some of you might say, well, we'll never get out of debt. Stop it. You're going to get out of debt. You'll have no debt remaining except the continual debt of love. See, we got to learn to replace these lies with the truth. We got to stop giving in to the toxic lies of this world. And we got to reject them, and we got to saturate our mind with the truth of God's word. The Bible that we carry around, and I brought mine, I left it over there. I actually use my iPad, my computer, and my phone most of the time. But the Bible that we read and we say we believe, it is not a devotional book, right? It's not a feel-good book of suggestions. It is the living word of God. It can consume us if we allow it to. We've got to let the word of God consume our lives. Romans 12:2, I'm going to close with this. Look at there, I lied to you. It's 12:16, I'm sorry. Romans 12:2, I'm going to close with this. Do not, and I'm not one of those like in closing 20 minutes later. Do not conform, Romans 12:2. Do not conform any longer to the pattern of this world. Y'all can come on up. Do not conform any longer to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. How are we transformed? By the renewing of our mind. You're transformed when your mind is renewed. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good, pleasing, and perfect will. It really is the thought that counts. Our thoughts really do matter. What I believe influences how I behave. Jesus said a lot of things, but one of the things he said in John 8, chapter 8, verse 31, he says, if you hold to my teaching, you're really my disciples. Then you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. Would you stand with me? See there, I didn't even close for 20 minutes. If there's one, I mean, I think every message I preach is important, or I wouldn't get up here. But I'm telling you, this is so important, what I just shared with you. I know it was drinking from a fire hydrant. You can go back on the app and you can, I put most of my notes in there, all 16 pages or more. But this is so important because I watch people struggle physically and mentally and spiritually, emotionally. I see them struggle. I get it. I understand. But our weapons are mighty through God to demolish the deception, the lies that the enemy tries to pump into us. What we believe is so important. We're going to talk about more of that stuff and what God says about us, what he says about himself. Every Sunday, that's what we talk about. It is so important for us to not just hear the truth and then just go and do our own thing again. But we have to embrace the truth. And Jesus said, when we know the truth, when we embrace the truth, it's going to set us free.
Yes.
It will set us free. We get hit with so many things, but our weapons are powerful. They're powerful. Father, we love you. We thank you for your word. We thank you for Jesus. You said, Jesus, you said, I am the way, and I'm the truth, and I'm the life. Anyone who follows me will experience that. Will have eternal life. Father, God, this morning we just ask for every prison, every lie from the enemy, that it would be demolished. God, that you'd help us to go through that process of replacing the lies with your truth. Help us, Lord, to walk it out. As tiring as it gets sometimes, as the struggle that we have, sometimes it seems so much easier just to believe the lie and just to go with it, just to medicate it, just to just feed it. And God, I get it, but Lord, I pray that you would set people free. I pray, God, that you would set each and every one of us free and that you would strengthen us. And that divine, powerful weapon that you've given us called truth would set us free, Lord God. God, have your way in our lives. Have your way in our lives.
Thanks again for joining us today. We're hoping that this message brought you to life. If you have any prayer requests or if you'd like to connect with our church family, you can email us at info@vibechurch.com or you can fill out the contact card section in our app. We're looking forward to hearing about all the ways that God is moving in your life. And until next time, go bring somebody to life.